I found as a teacher, one of the difficulties is having to prepare a talk every week. And that competes with the old saying, don't speak unless you can improve upon silence. So I don't know if this would be an improvement, but hopefully it'll be helpful. There is, the other thing is, in terms of subject matter for talks, I'm going to use the Mumin Khan, the Gateless Gate. It's the first book that we use in this lineage when we start studying koans. And so I'm going to move through that book. I'm not going to do all of them, but ones that I think that are important to share, and that will be for a while the source of the talks that I'll give. So I'm going to start at the beginning, and everybody knows at this point that the first koan in the book, the Gateless Gate, is Mu. And I'm going to start with a haiku, which comes out of a book on Zen and dying. And the haiku is, moon in a barrel. You never know just when the bottom will fall out. Now, I'm offering that haiku in a sense of the great death, the death when the ego drops away. So, moon in a barrel, you never know just when the bottom will fall out. That's also true about experiencing our true nature. When will our bottom fall out? So I'm going to read a quote by Joan Halifax from Upaya Zen Center. And just as an aside, she's one of the many highly accomplished female Zen teachers in the country and around the world. And I say that because we have that chant, the Women of Zen, and I'd just like to remind everybody that Zen is slowly becoming balanced, that it's not all about men teachers. It's also about the insight of women teachers. So this is from something that she said. The poet R.H. Blythe said that Zen is poetry. And what does he mean by poetry? And she writes, in making this comment, he did not use the word poetry in the sense of what we commonly call verse. Instead, he was referring to the essence of Zen, which, like the world of poetry, it comes from the spontaneous, the natural, and the unfabricated energy of meeting reality directly. I think those three words are extremely important. Poetry is spontaneous, natural, it's fabricated, and it contains energy. When you come across a poem that speaks to you, you can feel a connection, an energetic connection to that poem. So being freely and fully present, not held hostage by thinking, is the practice of Zen. Right. Again, that's same for poetry. It's that when you're writing poetry, all of a sudden, boom, that energy appears. And it doesn't originate from thinking. Thinking may take place in creating the poem itself, making choices that go into the poem. But it comes up, it comes out of us, you know, that boom. So how many of you have written poetry? Okay. So you may identify with that. No, I'm exaggerating to make a point. There is that, all of a sudden, that. So this same spirit, this same energy, is reflected in the so-called literary body that we call koans. It's the same way. We sit with a koan, and then all of a sudden, there's that energy, you could feel it. So as most of you know, that in the white plum lineage, we start off with the koan mu. And, you know, mu is just one form of approaching, experiencing true nature. And I've talked about this before. There's Soto Zen and Rinzai Zen. And in Soto Zen, it's called the gradual school. It doesn't look for that boom of energy. It happens slowly, progressively through time by doing Shikantaza, which is just sitting, right? Just sitting. And then Rinzai is basically based on koans and that more powerful insight, which happens when the bottom falls out. Now, no, neither one is more important or better than the other. It's which one attracts a particular student. Now, in the white plum lineage, the poems and Shikantaza can be mixed, but generally speaking, especially with Roshi Kennedy, the experience is based on doing koan work. So, in koan study in our lineage, as I just said, it begins with mu, and it's what we call a breakthrough koan. So mu is the original koan that lets the bottom of the bucket fall out. And then we say that all the other koans after that only continue to deepen the understanding that arose out of that first experience. Now, there are other koans that are considered breakthrough koans, and a lot of these are familiar. Some of them even have become cliches. And one was, what was your face before your mother was born? And this is probably the most common one. What is the sound of one hand clapping? Now, each one of those is a breakthrough koan. It's something that we use to start out our practice of koan study. Now, another way that this comes up, sometimes a student will come to a teacher, and in the conversation in Daisan, there'll be a something that comes up which the teacher could see that this is a breakthrough koan. So it doesn't necessarily come out from the regular list of koans. And so one of these questions that comes up is, who am I? Who am I? Right, so you ask yourself, who am I? And we sit with that as a koan. What happens when I die? Well, there's your breakthrough koan. So, just as a suggestion, if you have any interest at all in koan study, try it. You may not connect to it. I mean, that's fine. A lot of people don't connect to the koan, and their practice develops in a different way. So the koan mu, which is a very simple, straightforward koan. A monk once asked Joshu, does a dog have Buddha nature or not? And Joshu responds by simply saying, mu. So a monk asks, what does a dog have Buddha nature? And Joshu says, mu. Now, frequently, this will begin the student thinking about, what does this mean? What could be a correct answer for this? And the reaction, this reaction that's going on, is take place up here in the head. And that's where the energy is. It's up here. And if the student stays there, which many of us do, I know I did for 2 years, trying to figure it out, like, how do I go back to Roshi? What do I say that will bring a big smile to his face? So the way to take up the koan is to drop out of your head into your belly, or what they call the hara. And the hara, unlike the head, is a place of direct experience. It's beyond words and notions, beyond does or does not. And this, we say, is the ground of being. So it's not in opposition to thinking, but it's a different place, the place that is best to take up a koan. And as I mentioned energy before, all of the energy is concentrated in our belly. And the hara is just below the navel. And now just to clarify this, I don't know if you can see me here, but when we sit, normally we sit with our hands in the Kazakh mudra, very similar to Dave sitting. And that's called the cosmic mudra. And we hold our hands over our belly. Now, sometimes over time, and this happened for me, because, I don't know, my wrists used to, after years of doing this, started hurting for some reason. So instead of sitting like this, I hold my hands together like this, but in over my hara. So the key is that your hands are down here by your belly. And that, by that, we become in contact with this energy. It's sort of like bringing these two together, we are creating and supporting the energy. And it's that energy out of which our response, our experience of the koan takes place. And one of the things in terms of teaching sitting is it's frowned upon to remove your hands from your belly and, for example, put your hands on your knee. Because now you're dispersing the energy again. It's not focused. And by bringing your hands back here, the energy is focused. So again, the koan is, a monk once asked Joshu, does a dog have Buddha nature or not? And Joshu responds saying, moo, moo. Now, there's a verse that goes along with this koan, and it's the dog, Buddha nature. The truth lies, dog, Buddha nature. The truth is manifested in full. A moment of yes or no, lost are your body and soul. A moment of yes and no. You are lost, body and soul. So does a dog have Buddha nature? And how do we make sense of this? Now we know from studying Zen, everything is or has Buddha nature. Everything is Buddha nature. And if we don't realize this, then we are all lost. So the koan, does a dog have or doesn't a dog have Buddha nature? Right? The question is split in the universe. And this koan is about that. It's about duality. So as long as we only see life through the eyes of this and that, yes, or no, we can't experience the underlying oneness of life. So how would you go and answer this koan, express this koan if you're not allowed to say, answer the question yes or no. So the question becomes, now what? And so I would say that if you feel drawn to Mu, forget everything I have said about Mu. Forget anything that anyone else has said about Mu. Also forget whatever you may have read about Mu. Just get on your cushion and just sit. And then sit some more. And some more. Sit as often as you can. Attend retreats if possible. Take Mu with you everywhere you go. And when we sit upright and relaxed. We don't strain with the koan. We don't strain with Mu. We simply hold it in our belly without naming it. It's just energy. Just feel the energy. We sit with no thought of attainment. So we're not sitting with Mu to get anything. That's a big mistake, because as soon as we sit to get something, to attain something, the energy leaves our belly and it goes right back up to our head. And then we're out of balance. We're not grounded, right? When our energy is in our head, we're top heavy. And we have a tendency to want to fall over. So keep it in your belly. Keep it where you are grounded. Now, as we know from any kind of practice, if problems arise, if we get discouraged or we start comparing ourselves, our practice, to somebody else's practice, don't stop. Keep sitting. Now, you can, if you have a teacher, you can let your teacher guide you with the koan and through any issues or problems that come up. If you keep going straight ahead, when you least expect it, your body and mind will open. If you just go straight ahead, this happens naturally. And then also, all instantly, the bottom of the bucket falls out. And the moon disappears, right? And in this case, using the koan in this way, the moon is everything that we have in our head, and that moon drops away. And there's Mu. Right? But what is your experience? What is your expression of that breakthrough? Remember, you can't speak about it. You can't explain it. It's an experience. So how do you express it? Master Hung Shi Chen said, "In silence, words are forgotten. In utter clarity, things appear. The bottom of the bucket drops out. And things are silent. Words are forgotten. And utter clarity appears.